Evening gang, welcome to our Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church. And our message on Sunday was entitled The Great Exchange, Philippians chapter 3. Let's go to our text here again. Philippians chapter 3 from the beginning says, "Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I also may have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks he may have more confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted for loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my righteousness which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith." Father, we come before you this evening, and we thank you for the opportunity to gather together, even in this digital format. Thank you for your intimate and continual and faithful commitment to our lives. May we answer in kind. May we lay our lives down in its fullness before you. Bless this evening. Let your message go forth, that all these times we come together, that we would grow in you, maturing and becoming all that we're called to be. We praise your name. Amen.
I've been wrestling with purpose. What was I created for? I'm more than what you see on the surface. See beneath my skin and scars, I'm skinned and scarred. Marred and twisted, scarred by the past, I need to be lifted. And sometimes I question my own existence. What was I put here for? In my seams, it seems that there seems to be more. It's like I'm a light, unplugged from the socket. I mean, do I really exist to put money in my pocket? This 9-to-5 feels like a 9-to-9. My mind entwined, I pass the time. Life circles me as I wait. What is my estate? I feel like I was made for something great, and yet I can't quite put my finger on it. But when I look at my fingers and I see their design, I realize I'm one of a kind, and something created me. No, someone created me. And that someone made me for a reason. Even though it's clear the past years have been treason, I still sense this drawing, this calling, that even in the midst of my falling, there was someone who died to pick me up. Someone who rose to fix me up. Someone who's coming back to lift me up. And that someone is Jesus. See, God made me for a purpose. And when I delight in him, it's brought to the surface.
And we're back for our Wednesday Rewind here at Believer City Church with a message entitled The Great Exchange, Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. If you were with us on Sunday, you will remember that we addressed an entrenched struggle that goes on within really wider Christendom. It is a battle that is found to be both personal and corporate. This conflict that seems to invariably exist for the vast majority of believers, wherein we embrace redemption and yet we wrestle still with our surrender to Christ as Lord. For many of us, This is going to be a lifelong struggle. A lifetime of push and pull. What is mine? What is God's? What do I control? What does God control? Now, Paul, he's addressing this issue specifically in our text this week, and frankly is unapologetic in his handling of the subject. He does, however, take an innately personal position in the discussion. He is offering himself up in the text as example A. Paul began by giving a rather stark and blunt warning concerning those who would attempt to paint a different picture of Christianity than the one that he was espousing. He called these folks dogs. He called them evil workers. So Paul is hardly soft-pedaling the danger or attempting to hide his angst concerning these individuals, the subject and those who were messing with his sheep. Now, Paul knew that there was and always would be those who are seeking after a Jesus light, a faith manifest that receives all of the comfortable blessings of Christ, but yet effectively rejects all of the unpleasantries that we all know to be innately a part of living out Christ in this world, a world that rejects him. The world, you see, is looking for an a la carte version of faith, and one that is quite simply a false faith. Now, Paul, he's venturing out into thin ice in respect of his Jewish brethren. He says that the real Jew is not the one who is circumcised in the flesh, but rather the one who is circumcised in the heart. This, of course, is going to have a rather striking impact because it effectively lets in, well, anybody. Of course, that would most definitely rankle the average Jew because that individual was brought up to believe he or she was special and that he or she belonged to a rather elite club. But his words resonate with the child of God, for such a concept rings true in our understanding of our unity and moreover the cost of our embrace of Jesus Christ. Now we know that our salvation may indeed be a free gift, but man, it's not free to live out. In fact, in the flesh, living out for Christ can be quite costly. And of course, this is the rub because mankind wants both. They want the world and Jesus. They want the blessings without the buffetings. Now, our failure to embrace the total surrender, this immediately affects our worship lives. Because, gang, worship is expressed in the living out of our faith. Not just what we do, not even just how we do it, but our demeanor while we're doing it. The bottom line is that Christ and salvation is essentially asking for everything. No holding back. Salvation is the total surrender of every aspect and priority of our lives. Paul clearly gave up everything. And that's the point of what he's saying in this passage. As we spoke on Sunday, Paul, not only did he give up everything, but he had a lot to give up. I mean, he had some serious mo going on in the secular world. And yet he walked away from all of it. And in no time, he actually burned any bridge that he might have had in an attempt to return. Look, Paul traded. He made the great exchange. He traded what he was. He traded what he had. He traded where he was going. All for what Jesus was, what Jesus would bring him, pleasant and unpleasant, I might add, and for what Jesus, where he was taking him. Now, as we spoke of on Sunday, the problem today lies in this matter, it lies deep and way back in our faith, back often even to our understanding of what salvation actually is, what Christianity, what life, Christian life really is. The sad fact is that our culture today has substantially reinvented, if you will, all of the Christian life into something vastly different from what Jesus himself, not to mention all of the apostles' teaching, but what they espoused in faith's inception. We today have built something that is far more politically correct, far more socially acceptable, not to mention more worldly agreeable and certainly materialistically beneficial. It never occurs to many folks that what they're a part of is actually very foreign to the walk of faith as presented by Christ Jesus. That occurs because of the vast biblical illiteracy that is present in our greater church world today. People don't know because they've never bothered to actually look. Paul said his salvation meant that everything was gone. It meant that he had surrendered it all. His plans, his possessions, his earthly loves and passions. Paul was all in. Now, many of us, we tend to speak of Christ in terms that are not a reality in our personal lives. And what's worse is so often we know the right religious words and we know the right religious adjectives to use, but we use them when in reality it's not what's really happening in our lives, in our living. I mean, really, how many of us call him Lord in prayer? Lord Jesus, but he's not really the master of our lives. He's not Lord. Paul keeps using the picture, if not the actual vernacular, that he was now dead to this world and what he used to be and used to want. No, he was joining Christ in crucifixion. He was violently killing the man that he used to be. And you know what? There's just nothing subtle. There's nothing marginal and nothing limited in that description. Where are you today, Christian? Are you holding back or are you in fact all in? Because there's only one version of Christianity, and it's 100% in the game.